Good morning. You know, it's just wonderful singing with you guys there. Started to break down to give praise to God and our Savior and what we are doing there. So it was just exciting. Hey, before I forget, I have a select scriptures for reflection and study that tie into my talk, and I'll have put them on a table back there, but I'll set them down there for that. And as I was studying and looking at this, of how Jesus leads us through confronting difficult situations, you know, I couldn't help but kind of reflect upon things in my life and things that hinder or cause me to stumble that I don't yield. With him. So you don't have to try to write down the scriptures. I'll have them here for you on that. So as I was going through this, you know, the first thing that I thought about is confronting. What does it mean that when we're confronting, you know, how does Jesus lead us through confronting? And I got to thinking, okay, am I confronting someone or someone confronting me? Or do I have a problem in my own life that I need to deal with? So I went and looked at the definition for confront and confronting. And it's interesting to me from time to time as I look at definitions of words, how they mean different, something different to me than what they really mean on things. And when I looked up confront, the first definition that came up was to face someone with hostile or argumentative intent. And I'm going, gee, I confront people, but I'm not being hostile, am I? Am I trying to be argumentative with them? You know, the thing that drove home to me is that when I'm confronting someone, you know, do I have personal motivations there? Am I doing it for the wrong reasons? And then the second definition that came up was the act of facing, meeting, or dealing with a difficult situation. Okay, yeah, okay. I agree with that. I follow that. So it led me to think about, okay, when I am dealing with difficulties, I need to understand or examine the context to help me understand how God might want me to move forward, how Jesus might want me to move forward with that. You know, and the context is, you know, are you being confronted by someone else? And how do you respond? Are you confronting someone and over a situation, and how do you respond to them? Is this a situation in your life that you need to face up to or man up and stop ignoring? I mean, how many of us have issues in our life that we need to address? We need to say that, you know, we're going to get right with God on it, or maybe we're going to get more committed with God. Maybe we're going to get our priorities right in our life. And then, you know, is this a biblical issue or just a personal preference or something that we don't like? Did it hurt our feelings or we just didn't like what was going on there? So in looking at these things here, you know, we need to determine how Jesus is leading us in responding to this. And I think the first thing that we need to do in situations is to put it in the proper perspective. Now, as I went through these things of whether someone's confronting us or we're confronting them, I think that oftentimes we are driven by wrong motivation. We're driven by not a biblical basis, but we just don't like something. We don't like the way they handled it. We don't like the way they did it. Or if they're coming and confronting us about something that they felt that we weren't doing right, what's the first thing that we want to do? Get defensive. We want to tell them why they're wrong and why we're right, why they misinterpreted the situation, or maybe take it a step further and we're like, who do you think you are to come and say that to me? For me, what I've tried to do is to first take the step in dealing with situations. Is am I looking at this from an eternal perspective or am I looking at it from a worldly perspective? Am I looking at it from the circumstances of how this affects me today and what the consequences are today, what pain it might cause me today, or discomfort, or whatever, or am I looking at it from an eternal perspective of this situation, what does it matter when I am in heaven with our Savior? Is it that important for me to get so worked up, so stressed out over, so defensive, or so prideful that that drives my response? I have found for myself personally that when I take a step back and say, let me not look at what this is doing to me personally, but let me look at how I might turn this to God's glory, to see what Jesus wants to teach me from it, to see how I might move forward on things from an eternal perspective, then it becomes easier because I'm not driven by issues of pride. I'm not driven by selfishness. I'm not worried about whether my feelings are hurt. I'm not worried about whether, someone disrespected me or not. My whole focus needs to be, are my actions glorifying to God? Not whether that person's actions are glorifying to God. So in looking at things, you know, one of the first things that I see is, what is Jesus looking to teach me through that? Nobody likes criticism, particularly if it's unfounded criticism, particularly if it's criticism with ulterior motives that somebody has. But what I try to do, and I believe that what Jesus wants us to do, is to focus on Him, to focus on the truth in it, to focus on what we can learn from it, and to set everything else aside. And so, let's put it in the proper perspective. Is this eternal? Or are we looking at it from a worldly standpoint? You know, am I more worried about self rather than God? Think about that. How many things do you do that is driven by what people will perceive of you or look toward you as opposed to how Jesus will be happy with what you're doing? We're concerned with how we look to others, our pride. We're concerned about what does it cost me in a worldly value, money. How does it make me feel? Can I be humble? Or how dare you? You know, what is Jesus leading or teaching us? You know, there is a foundational principle that Jesus teaches us, and that's in John chapter 12, verse 28, where he's talking about that we're to glorify the Father. That was his goal. That was his role. And I think that's a foundational principle for us, is that, you know, Jesus is teaching us to glorify the Father, to be obedient. Gentlemen, it's not about you, but it's about God. And do we seek to glorify Him in all that we do? Are we looking in each decision that we make, each step we take in life, are we constantly asking ourselves the question, Lord, how would you have me proceed? What would you have me be taught? How would you guide me in this? How can I glorify you through these circumstances? And guess what does that mean? It means that we're going to have to sacrifice. Oftentimes we can't see where Jesus is leading because we're too busy looking at ourselves. We're too busy worrying about what people are going to think of us. When we're dealing with difficult situations, when we're confronting things here, are we more concerned with pride or humility? Are we more concerned with self-worship or the worship of God? And this is the big one. Are we more concerned about judgment and vindictiveness versus sacrifice? Are you looking at when there's a situation that's confronting, is your focus on, I'm going to get even. I'm going to make that person pay. Or that person didn't treat me nice, so I'm not going to treat them nice. We are all too often driven by the flesh versus driven by the Holy Spirit, yielding to God's direction in our life. Jesus uses situations and circumstances to mold us, to form us, to teach us, to correct us. The question is, are we going to allow it to happen? Or are we more concerned about how we respond to that circumstance? Let's go to some verses here that I'd wanted to share. And these are some of the verses that are on the sheet here that I use to kind of guide me in how I respond to circumstances and as I'm searching on what to learn. The first is Ecclesiastes 7:9. It says, "Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools." Any hotheads in here? Yeah. Be not quick in your anger to become, and be not quick in your spirit to become angry. You know what goes along with that is that we are prejudging somebody's motives. We're determining ahead what they meant by that word that they said, or maybe the tone or the phrase, as opposed to being always forgiving. Golly, could Jesus be teaching us to forgive first and leave judgment to Him? Proverbs 17, 27 and 28 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise." Man, does our mouth get us in trouble a lot? Because we allow our emotions to drive us, and the reason our emotions drive us is because our focus is upon what? Ourself, instead of Jesus. Suppose we took the tack that from now on, every time I respond to something, I'm going to think about how Jesus taught me to respond. I'm going to respond not with judgment, with compassion. Not with quick words, but with love. Not with criticism, but with understanding. And to understand the perspective. James 1, 19 through 22. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." When I was younger, I had a terrible temper. Now, I didn't like tear things up or whatever, but my feelings would get hurt really quick. And I would blow up. I remember as a teenager, my dad would say something, and I'd get mad and I'd stomp out of the room and yell and everything. Or worse than that, when I was a young driver up until my 50s, I wasn't going to let that guy get ahead of me. I'm not going to let that guy get, I'm sitting here in the line. here waiting in the line here, and this guy comes down 2 miles and then thinks he's going to jump in front of me. It ain't going to happen. It just is not going to happen. Or when somebody said something, I immediately think, well, that was rude. Or he's got a problem with me. Or he's not being nice. I began to realize that I was being controlled or allowing circumstances to control me instead of turning things over to Jesus. And when I gave up on realizing that I wasn't in control, that God was in control, and that He was ultimately in control of all the circumstances around me, and even when bad things happen, my focus should not be to look on why, you know, it's unfair that this bad thing happened, but to focus on the context of, well, God did not intervene or God allowed this, so therefore, I'm going to focus upon what does God want me to learn from this or to understand or to prepare me for this. I'm going to look toward what God would give me out of it. It was the red light scenario, okay? I hate it getting caught at red lights. Have you ever been, you know, you're trying to get through traffic and you're trying to get somewhere and, you know, every red light clicks right before you get to it, all right? Ever had that? Seen that? That used to upset me because what it was doing was taking away my ability to get somewhere and do something really quick. And then I began to say, look, maybe I ought to be thankful for every red light that occurs. Because that red light causes me to pause. It causes me to stop. And how many accidents have I avoided, or God has avoided, because He stopped me from heading down the road? So the thing is that when you have things or problems that hinder you in your walk, instead of being critical or frustrated or angry, thank Jesus for it. Thank Him for the opportunity to be taught. Thank Him for pausing and allowing that stop in your life to see what you could do. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Last time you had a bad situation in your life, did you go to prayer and to Jesus and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing that in my life. Thank you for molding me through it. Help me to understand what I did to cause it, or if I did nothing to cause it, and you were using it to mold me or guide me, I thank you for that. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? I'll tell you in a little bit when I had to pray that prayer. James 1:2-4, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. Do you consider it all joy when you go through trials? You know, the word consider there means to evaluate. Okay? So evaluate the joy that you have when you go through trials. The word trials there, that Greek word, comes from a word meaning a break in the pattern of peace or comfort or joy or happiness in someone's life. Are you thankful when there's difficulty in your life? I'll go over why it's important in a minute. In 1 Peter 5:6-8, humble yourselves therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Do you humble yourself? Do you cast your anxieties upon him? You know, in addition to having a hot temper when I was young, I was also a professional worrier. I worried about everything. I worried about how I was going to get things together, how I was going to arrange things. I worried about what was going to happen next year. And I worried about whether it was at work or family or home or whatever. Now, you know, I internalized a lot of this stuff. Okay? I'm not, as Pastor Mark will tell you, I'm not a chatterbox on things, on some things. He fusses at me because oftentimes he finds out things about me or my family or on issues, usually finds out about them from somebody else. We are to cast our anxiety upon Jesus because he wants to carry those burdens for us. And he wants to teach us that at the end of the day, the things that we worry about 99% of the time have no eternal value or perspective. But yet it drives our life. It drives our happiness. It controls how we serve God. And really the root problem is because we're worshiping self instead of worshiping God. Let me put things in perspective. I think some of you all heard this, but suffering, you know, I classify suffering or conflict or things into three categories, all right? The first is natural suffering. You know, we live in a sinful world, okay? When Adam and Eve committed the original sin, what happened to this world? It started a process of decay. And illness and disease and sickness crept in. Sometimes we suffer for no other reason than the fact that we live in a sinful world. How does Jesus look to teach us through that? Well, he teaches us to accept our circumstances and to keep our focus upon him, to glorify him, and to realize that he will use that so that we might minister to others. Many times I've seen people go through difficult and traumatic circumstances in their life only for God to use them later to be a comfort and encouragement to others as they go through those things. The second is that we can go through suffering for discipline. You know, that's counter. You know, some will incorrectly teach that all suffering is God's active discipline and correction in our life. When my son Jay had his accident, I have a son who's paralyzed. I think a lot of y'all know him here. You know, we actually had some people tell us that he had the accident because we had unrepented sin in our life. And, you know, it didn't make me mad. It just made me sad that they would have that perspective. We had others tell us that he wasn't healed because we didn't have enough faith. You know, Jay's accident was a result of his disobedience and natural circumstances. He was pushing on a dead tree. I came home early. I beeped the horn on the tractor for him to come to the house My dad had cancer. I was going to see him. He heard the horn. He told me this. He said, I heard the horn, and I knew that you wanted me to come to the house, but I didn't come because I wanted to stay and try to get that tree knocked over. Well, in that, I'm doing a little rabbit trail here. At the hospital, of course, we spent many days at MCV and then over at Children's Hospital. One of the things that I had to come to terms with was that I was not in control. And I had been in control of everything in my life up to then. At least I thought so. And Jesus used that circumstance to teach me that I was not in control and that I had to rely upon him. And through that circumstance, I realized that he's the only one in control. I had to turn it over to him, and I had to learn to be satisfied with his decision, not mine. And I remember, you know, I kept a journal. I found it the other day. I hadn't read back through it. But, you know, one of the things that through that process, as I prayed about, I went through a process of begging for his healing to, you know, begging that, you know, things would be better or something would change, you know, to, Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing that? What have I done? But ultimately, I came to the position that God's in control. He's allowed this. And I'm going to trust him. And then I had to take the next step of thanking God for the circumstances. Talk about feeling like you're betraying your son. But I knew that that was the path that he wanted me to learn and understand, is that he's in control. And he helped me to understand, too, that I was worried about earthly things. Because in eternity, Jay is going to walk. And he's going to be fine. I'm only worried about one infinitesimal split component of eternity, and I'm flipping out over it. And Jesus is sitting there going, this dude don't get it, does he? He just does not get it. So I kind of took a thing there, the suffering. We have natural suffering. We have discipline. You know, part of what happened to Jay was that he didn't listen when I called him. Now, let me just make it really clear. God didn't say, I'm going to teach Jay a lesson and cause that tree to fall on him. But we can suffer when we do not listen to God. When we do not obey him, there are consequences. And those consequences can be passive, meaning that he has warned us about doing things, and because we disobey, the natural course of circumstances causes suffering for us, and they can be active. Active means that God says, I'm going to straighten you out because you are wandering too far and I'm not going to let it happen. The passive is, I use this example, I tell my boys, do not ride your bikes in the street. And they don't listen to me, and they ride the bikes in the street, and a car comes around the corner and hits them. I did not call my neighbor up and say, look, the boys are in the street again riding their bikes. Let's teach them a lesson. Get in your car and run them over. But it happened because they were not listening. The other thing is that I catch them riding it in the street again, and I bring them to the house, and I get the old belt out. That was still okay back then. And I wear their honey parts out. Not really. They did get whippings. Here's the third way. So we have suffering that's natural for discipline. And here's the third one, is for molding and strengthening. Do you realize that God allows difficulty to happen in your life? He may even cause difficulty to happen in your life in order to strengthen you, to mold you so that you might progress. And we can either fight it, or we can say, Lord, teach me through it. Help me to understand through that. And in that process, he might be looking at revealing our motivations on why we're doing things. He might be looking to draw us closer to him. He might be looking to correct things. You know, I think in terms of a weightlifter, if I had a barbell set up here, well, let's suppose that I decided that I was going to do weightlifting and I was going to clean and jerk 500 pounds, right? Heavyweight. Anybody do that here? Barry did that. Did you do that, Barry? You know, Barry was, what were you, state champion weightlifter? All right. 600, right? Well, the way to work, to do that is not to put 500 pounds in a barbell and every day grab it and try to pick it up, thinking that one day you're going to pick it up, right, Barry? How do you do it? Right. You start lightweight and work your way up and build your strength. Do you realize that God allows and causes difficulties in our life for the purpose of strengthening us as we might strengthen our body as a weightlifter? Because he has a plan and he has a purpose for you to serve him in the future, and he's getting you ready for it. Are you thanking Jesus for those difficulties in your life, or are you complaining about it? The second thing that I want to say here is to consider the source also. I went back and I was the other night and was trying to look to find this, the difference between the word testing used in Scripture, and I didn't find that commentary, but I'm going to tell you the gist of it. One of them is that we have testing that occurs because just things happen. We make wrong choices. But the other one talks from the standpoint that it's a lure or a trap, like a fisherman would bait a hook, or a trapper would set a trap there and put meat in it to draw the game into it so that they might catch it. And for me, when I began realizing or thinking in terms of things, you know, every time that I have this conflict or difficulty or maybe, you know, confrontation, first off, is it something that I need to address, or is it nothing more than a trap to cause me to show my ungodly nature and how I'm going to respond to things and to make a fool of myself and an embarrassment to Christ? Or is it something that I need to address? And the next thing is that I look at is that, okay, when this difficulty happens, is it nothing more than God giving Satan and his demons an opportunity, like he did with Job, to cause grief and try to use me as a pawn to demonstrate my lack of love for my Savior. And really, it's an opportunity for me to show submission and love to Jesus and how I respond to the circumstance. What is our approach based upon? Is it based upon the fact that we don't want to suffer? Is it based upon the fact that I've been wronged? Is it based upon the fact that I'm not going to let anybody get a one-up on me? I have learned that it is better to be humble and to sacrifice my personal feelings in dealing with conflict and friction and issues, as opposed to claiming my right or my pride. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." You know, what struck with me on that verse is to seek the things that are above. Am I seeking things that glorify God and show obedience to Jesus? Or am I seeking things that glorify myself and seek to honor myself? In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, let me close with that. "So do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For the light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are not seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Now, this scripture is talking about physical suffering. But, you know, I think that we can apply it to everything in our life. Are we worried about ourselves? Are we looking to the promise of being in heaven with Jesus, and let that guide us in everything that we do and all that we prepare him for? Put yourself last, Jesus first. Let all your actions be driven by how I can glorify God and show my love for Christ, even when it means that I put myself last. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for teaching me and reminding me of your word and the fact that we are but servants, Lord, seeking to glorify you in all that we do, and that we should freely be willing to sacrifice and put ourselves last, Lord, in order to bring glory to you. Thank you, Lord, for understanding who we are and caring for us, and to look to reveal to us what our motivations are and to help mold and correct us. Lord, I just asked for your wisdom for each of us here, and that we would seek and strive, Lord, each day to be the godly man that you would have us be. And Lord, even when we falter and fail, that we would know that you are forgiving and a loving God, and that you're there to pick us up and to take our hand and to set us on the path again of obedience to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.